Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this rainy Thursday morning. Thursday, February 22nd, 2024. 2/22/2024. All these twos in this date. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, 15 minutes past the hour here, and we're having a good time this morning talking about a lot of things. But did you hear the ineptitude of my pen story? Boy, I hope you were here for hour number one. It's very, very interesting, and, I don't know, apparently it shows that I am completely inept. So, you know, I have a little ineptness to me on how to navigate using a pen. See, I bet all the people listening probably thought, Scott, he knows how to work a pen. But don't know how to work a pen. If I'm in a meeting, and I'm going to tell you, when I have this meeting tomorrow, I'm going to bring a pen or a pencil myself. I've decided that I'm going to have to bring my own stuff, and that's going to have to be the way it'll go. I don't know. You got to do what you got to do. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Don't forget Jessica Hauser back tomorrow, 11 a.m. No, 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. Got to get these times right. 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. tomorrow. That's going to be a lot of fun. I kick off the morning from 8 to 9. Matt and Jessica, 11 till, 9 to 11. I'll get this right eventually. I'll get it worked out. If I had a pen I could use, I could probably write this all down. Pastor Craig from 11:15 until 12 with what's happening in Marion. 12:15 to 1, we have the Exchange Club, Matt Morgan, Pastor Craig, and myself. Study his word from 1:10 until 2 p.m. And then we have Matt Carrington, myself, and Sean from 8:15 until 10 p.m. tomorrow night. So, there you go, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Okay, that's tomorrow. But we still have 40 minutes left today. Okay, so what did I want to talk about? Well, we talked about the pen thing, which clearly... Has anybody had an embarrassing moment like that? Now, I'm sure everybody out there knows how to use pens. But have you ever had an embarrassing moment like that? And by the way, I have not really got into these confidential records that I was given last week. I mean, I know what they are, and I've looked at them, but I really need to dig a little deeper before I bring them to the air, so that's why I haven't said anything yet about them. So if you're keeping tabs on that, I'll eventually get to it as time goes on. But that's just one of those things. So, Community Action does taxes. Call them for free. See if you can get an appointment. I don't know if they still have appointments open, but if you need your taxes done and don't necessarily have the money or like to be economical, call Community Action. See if they have any spots open. Again, we thank Sansodas last night for catering the program. That was a lot of fun. It's always fun to do the programs with Matt and Carrington and Sean, but last night we had Sansodas, so that made it a whole lot better. Now, here's what I wanted to talk about this morning. Oh, and Stewart's Root Beer opening up tomorrow, Friday, at 11 a.m. As I said, I think Mary Ellen and I fell off the guest list for opening night. You know, it was. I'll tell you why it was always fun to go there on opening night, or opening day or whatever it was. It was fun because usually, I think last year was the only year it didn't happen. But usually, I mean, it wasn't just Mary Ellen and I. Usually it was Mary Ellen and I and Abby would come over. And sometimes we would tape it. Sometimes we would do it live. But it was always entertaining because that's a unique thing to talk about. I mean, Stewart's Root Beer this year is 99 years old in Marion. Now, the company itself is 100 years old, but 99 years old, Stewart's Root Beer this year in Marion. Been around for 99 years, Marion's oldest business. And that's fascinating to me. I think that's we don't bring that up enough. We talk about downtown Marion, and we talk about other businesses. But, hey, Stewart's Root Beer right there on North Main Street is Marion's oldest business. 99 years this year. But the cups you'll see will tell you that Stewart's Root Beer has been around for 100 years. But that's, I think, the corporation has been around. Or the first one, which I think was over in Mansfield somewhere, opened up 100 years ago, but the Marion one opened up in year number two. So that's why it was always fun. You know, Abby's always a good time, and Mary Ellen's always a good time. And so those were fun events. And I think we did it in 20, 21, 22, 23. Maybe we did it 4 years. I know we did it at least three. And then sometimes we would have other people involved, so that was fun too. I know Sean was there a couple times. And there were other people who were there. So it was a good time. What can you say? And who knows what'll happen between tonight and tomorrow. You know, wouldn't it be... It's kind of interesting. Matt and Carrington and Mary Ellen. Now, they've been together a few different times. So that group works well. Now... Matt and Carrington and Abby, I think, have only been together once, I think. I'm pretty sure it's only been once. But that was a fun time. I thought that was a good time. So I don't know how that whole group would do. That'd be an interesting group. There's some different ages involved in that particular group. So, you know, who knows? Sometimes maybe we'll see what's going on there. But regardless, your foot-long hot dogs, your chicken sandwiches, your curly fries, your root beers, all those good things over at Stewart's Root Beer, and they open up for the season at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Not to shortchange anybody, though, because we want to keep everything above board here. The Jersey and Fred's opened up February 14th, Valentine's Day. So there you go. That's how that all works out. Now, what was the thing that I wanted to talk about? You know, the mind. Other things come in and you forget what you're talking about. Maybe age. Maybe it's age. 740-751-4038. Now, what do you like to eat when you go to these places? Whether it's the Jersey or whether it's Fred's or whether it's the root beer stand. What do you enjoy when you go there? As I said, for me, it's shredded chicken, diet root beer, and curly fries. That's what I like. What do you like when you go there? It'd be interesting to know. 740-751-4038, or what do you like when you go to the Jersey or Fred's? I'm not downing Fred's. I think Fred's does a great job. All I know is I got stuck in a line there one time, and honestly, I needed a sleeping bag. I don't know what was going on that day. They were busy, but I have never been in a line and waited that long in my life. But I'm glad they do a good business over there. It's good for that particular community that they're still open. Okay. Oh, okay, I know what I wanted to talk about. Now it's come back to me. The other thing that I wanted to talk about this morning. Now, this is a little bit of a touchy subject, but I'm going to bring it up anyway because why not? You know what? I keep hearing this term, and I don't know if this is a new term that people are starting to use around town. I don't know what the reason is, but here's what it is. Marion icon. Now, I have seen this written a couple places lately. I've seen it in social media posts. I've heard people mention it in conversations. I've even seen it in the newspaper. Marion icon. Now, here's why this is touchy. Because I'm not discounting anybody. I'm not saying that one person is more important than somebody else. I'm not saying that at all. But The term icon, first of all, I looked up the definition the other day when I was thinking about this. An icon, by definition, is a person or thing regarded as a representative symbol or as a worthy of veneration. Okay, now here's the problem. If everybody is an icon, then nobody's an icon. And we have had some icons here in Marion. But to me, an icon is somebody who does something out of the ordinary, does something for the masses, and leaves a mark that will be there forever. Now, again, I'm not saying that some people don't do... I'll tell you what I like in this, too. Okay, here's the thing. Now, if... Let's say, I mean, we're all going to go one day. We're all going to depart this world. Okay, let's say you leave. Now, of course your family is going to remember you, and of course your friends are going to remember you, and your relatives are going to remember you, and probably your coworkers. Now, that's normal. That happens pretty well with everybody. And those are probably the people that you are most concerned with. But I don't know that that makes you an icon. I think it's when you do something where people who don't even know you are aware that you have left. And that, to me, is an icon. And I just think we're using this term too much. And it shouldn't be a pet peeve, but it is a pet peeve because we're saying it all the time. And I think it diminishes the icons that we have had, because we have had people who've done extraordinary things. And I'm not going to tell you who the icons are, because honestly, you know, it's not for me to pick and choose who the icons are. I mean, I have a pretty good idea who I think they are, but I don't know. I'll give you an example, and I'll mention somebody who I think's an icon, and I'll show you the difference, because this is kind of hard to explain. Okay. Now, we have had many principals of schools in this town, and we've had many mayors, and we've had many county commissioners. Okay, let's put it that way. Well, as far as I know, the only person who has been a superintendent, who has been a mayor, and who has been a county commissioner is Doc Brown. So, I think he would be the icon. Now, not that anybody else shouldn't be considered as a good person who did life-changing things, but Doc Brown did all three. And I don't think anybody else has done all three. And that's quite a life. That's quite a career. You're cramming a lot of stuff in there. So to me, Doc Brown would be an icon. But I guess if you didn't go to school when Doc Brown was around, and I guess if he wasn't your superintendent or you didn't live in the city, well, maybe you wouldn't think he was an icon. I also think that firsts make you an icon. If you're a first in your field, in a field that's dominated by men or women or whatever, I think that helps you on your way to an icon when you succeed. So I don't know. I just think we're using that term way too often. And a lot of times, and I hate to say this, it comes about because people donate money. People will donate money, and all of a sudden that makes them an icon. And, I'm glad people donate money. I think that's very important. Heaven knows we got to get the money from somewhere to fund these programs and run these things and build these things. But I don't know. I think we're using the word too often, icon. I think there are very few icons. Now, we could say well-known person. We could say important in their field. Now, I think that would be better. I'd be okay with that. But icon, I don't know. I think people have jumped the shark on that one. Does anybody feel this way? I mean, it could be just me. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I guess I just do not want to diminish when somebody has done something very, very out of the ordinary. I guess that. It's more of the diminishment of it. I think that is unfortunate when we start calling everybody an icon. But you know what? If you don't care, you don't care, I guess. It is what it is. And I hate that saying, but I guess in this particular case, it really is what it is. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I guess also another one of the questions is, who do you think is an icon? I mean, the only one I've offered up here this morning, and I have others who I think are icons, but the only one I've offered up is Doc Brown. Now, I think I tried to give a good illustration as to why I think Doc Brown is an icon. But to me, that's the difference. And again, there are other people running through my mind, but they are very few. I mean, they're not a great big group of people. Now, again, this doesn't diminish who they are. I just think we're using that term too often. So phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Who do you think the icons of Marion are? It seems like people who write things and say things are kind of dictating who this is. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think it's quite everybody who's being implicated in this fashion. So that's the way that story goes here. Who are the icons? See, it might be one of those things where people don't even know. Because there are so few icons. It's hard to come up with names. But, boy, I think there are a lot less than what we are saying. So that. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow with Jessica Hauser and Matt. Because I'd be interested to get their perspective. I mean, Jessica is not a 20-year-old. And I'd be interested to know who Matt, at 20 years old, might think is an icon. I think that would be interesting to find out. Maybe the same thing with Carrington tomorrow night. Maybe the same thing with Pastor Craig tomorrow. It'd be interesting to know who they thought were the icons. I think that's kind of fascinating. I think that could be an interesting conversation. I think that we just have to be careful. Now, the reason we have to be careful is because we're going to start diminishing people's achievements. And we certainly don't want to do that. All right. Now, I did pass by, well, I don't even know what to call it now. Last night, for the first time since the signs have been changed, I passed by what was Founders Park, then became Schertzer Park, and now it's Founders Park again. And to be honest with you, I haven't gotten an answer as to why it was changed back to Founders Park, but the sign has been put back to Founders Park, and I really don't know why. It's kind of an odd thing, to be honest with you, because there was a little bit of a deal made when it became Schertzer Park back in December, and now here we are in February, and it's back to Founders Park. I don't know what happened there. I don't know what the big deal was. I think that's kind of rough. I hope that Mayor Schertzer was in on this or aware that they were changing this. I don't know. I'm not. Why is it called Founders Park? Does anybody know that? You know, I got feeling bad yesterday about Eber Baker. Now, many people know why I feel bad for Eber Baker for a lot of reasons, because we really don't know where he's buried at this point, the founder of Marion. You know, I was thinking yesterday, there used to be a school named after Eber Baker in the city schools. And then when the city schools changed all their names, school names to presidents, Eber Baker kind of got left in the dirt. You know, Eber Baker's got left in the dirt a couple times in his life. He was buried over in Quarry Street at the cemetery, and I think he's still buried over there, even though we say he's buried over in the Marion Cemetery, but I don't think that's a thing. And he also got his name taken off a school. So No Eber Baker. Does anybody even care about him anymore? I mean, has he gone by the wayside? Poor Eber Baker. Now, there's another icon. I think you would have to say the man who founded Marion is an icon, Eber Baker. But he's went by the wayside. I don't think he has anything in Marion named after him. And as a matter of fact, I could be wrong about this. I don't think there are even any historical markers in regard to Eber Baker. Are there? Has anybody been around town and seen a historical marker that was dedicated to Eber Baker? I don't think I've seen one. I don't know. 740-751-4038 if you got anything to say. 740-751-4038. Talking about Marion icons, talking about what happened with Schertzer Park, which again is Founders Park, was Founders Park. We don't know why it's called Founders Park. Poor Eber Baker. I think he's still buried on Quarry Street, even though people say he's in the Marion Cemetery. His name got taken off schools. I don't think there's any historical markers that say anything in regard to Eber Baker anymore. A little bit of a mess when it comes to these historical figures here. But I guess phone line still. You know, I got a little nervous there. Phone line's still there. We've had such great phone participation in the last couple days. I had to make sure we still had a dial tone. But I don't know. I don't know what's happened with Eber Baker, and I don't know what happened with Schertzer Park. I think that's a little rough, though, to be honest with you, to change the name of a park and name it for somebody and then change it back. Doesn't that seem a little difficult? I don't know. Just seems a little difficult to me. I'm not sure why that would happen. I would find that to be a little off-putting if it were me. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I think that the icon thing is exactly what you're describing that should be or shouldn't be in one respect, because there's so many fields that there's icons been in, but they're short period times, you know, to other people. But an icon would be definitely somebody that founded this town, and they should have been. I never give it a thought, see, thinking about or getting on a subject like that, and why not? But what would be the most important thing that all of us has lived in the town, grew up in the town and stuff, and here we are at ripe old age, and nothing said about it. That is a good point to bring up about Eber Baker.
Yeah, I feel bad about him. He's been lost to time and kind of treated badly in a way, and I don't know why that happened, but it just this icon thing, normally I wouldn't bring it up, but I started to see write-ups in the newspaper where they're saying Marion icon, and honestly, I didn't even know who the person was, and I think, and there's nothing wrong, I mean, if they would just use the term well-known or beloved person or whatever, I could see that.
Yeah, that's the part, one thing about Doc Brown, I don't know about his back history at all. All I know, here I've been out of school for a long, long time, graduated in 59, just say 60, so we remember him when he was in high school, his voice, and he made it known that he didn't need a microphone, and I've said that before on the air, but and then meeting him years after at a sportsman club and talking to him there, and he's just an all-around guy, but I think he was a drill sergeant in the Marines when he was a young man and stuff. So you know how he speak up, and what was that thing with that show that the sergeant and the all the other famous guy on the show on TV, he was a sergeant, you know, and Gomer Pyle. You know, that episode that was out, Doc Brown, he was like that, but he was, you know, he'd get right up there and he'd say what he said, and I think it's a good man, and he held three positions, like you say there. I don't know what else in his younger life, and like I say, being in the Marines, but yeah, he was, but there's so many fields that there's, like you say, great people, and that's about as far as that go, but when you get that, I think Eber Baker would be number one on my choice since we're talking here about that today.
Yeah, I, and I'm not really sure. I mean, I understand the city schools wanted to name all the schools after presidents. I understand that. So that's where his school went by the wayside. But it's unfortunate that that whole Quarry Street thing, I know, you know, it's kind of fun to talk about, but because of the way it went down, we don't really know where the man's buried, and nobody really seems to care because I guess he's from a bygone era, and now that no schools are named after him, I bet 90% of the people, if you said the name Eber Baker in Marion, Ohio, they'd have no idea who that was.
Well, here I lived in Marion, Ohio all my life, and I'd have to ask you to punch up the button and see when it was founded, Marion.
I'll do that, but do you? How do you feel about people like Eber Baker, because time gets on them, that they kind of disappear, they kind of go off?
Should have never been that way for some reason, but back then you didn't have the tools and stuff that they do stuff with, and you said it just started here in Marion, so all the kind of tools like we talk about, that's a kind of a new word. People think, well, a hand tool or something, but all the things, the internet and all that, and Facebook and those kind of tools and stuff, that it's an up-and-coming thing, so maybe the people using that really don't realize what the true meaning of that icon means.
I think so. Marion was founded, this is interesting, actually. It says Marion was founded in 1822, so we just had our bicentennial 2 years ago. Now, did you hear anything about that?
I can't remember anything, but that's during the epidemic period, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, and I'm looking at this now. Now, one source says that the county was created in 1820, and now this is interesting. Now, I'm glad we did this morning. We'll all learn something here together.
Yeah,
it
sure.
says now this is odd. It says the county was founded in 1820, but apparently it was incorporated in 1824, which would have been this year.
That's coincidental, yeah.
That is odd, because if that's true, because this says Marion County, Ohio, the county was created in 1820 and later organized in 1824. So this would be the bicentennial of the organization of Marion, Ohio, and I'm not aware of anything going on.
Scott, I can't really truthfully say, and something ought to have stuck in all students' mind and stuff. Is that the original courthouse, the Marion Courthouse we got up there today? That means Marion County, not city, but Marion County, and it's right dab in the middle of the city as the geography of the way of the city and county, you know.
I think that's the second courthouse we've had.
I don't remember any first one, so is there anything you punch up on the first one, or is it on the same location but revamped?
Yeah, I think it was on the same location. Now, this is interesting here. 1821, two men, Eber Baker and Alexander Holmes, officially began selling lots of land just north of where Jacob's Well was located. That area was named Marion. So I guess just north of Jacob's Well, I guess those are the oldest homes in Marion.
Yeah, that's where your antenna is right there.
It is in that area, so I guess the...
Yeah, with the seniors, the buildings there that your commercial comes off of.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, I guess those houses there on the side are some of the oldest homes in Marion, but apparently that started in 1821. Then you've got Alexander Holmes, who I guess was in business with Eber Baker. He gets left out of the story altogether.
Well, I thought I'd put my part in there, Scott. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? A lot of information out there when you go looking for it. Now, you kind of got to sift through it and find out what's right and what's not right. But, I would think the founder of Marion would be considered an icon. I mean, here we all are. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right. Who on your list makes icon status? And do you think Eber Baker makes icon status along with somebody like Doc Brown? He would be the one I would mention. Now, again, that's more because he did unique things. It's very hard, I think, in one lifetime to be superintendent, mayor, and county commissioner and achieve all three of those positions, superintendent for the city schools. So that's not bad at all. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Scott Spears.
Yes.
Icon.
Well, I don't know. That's a stretch.
You don't want that designation, Scott?
Well, I don't know. Everybody else gets it now, so maybe I could pick it up. Have you seen this in newspapers and on social media? People will say icon, and I'm not trying to trash those people. I'm confused. I think that's too big a word.
Yeah, it reminds me. I go to a lot of auctions, estate sales, have for years, and I was living up in Metro Detroit, in that state up north. And there was a guy that operated an estate sale company in a fairly affluent suburb of Detroit. And in every single listing for a sale that he was going to have, he would use the word prominent. So he'd say, a prominent businessman, you know, this is his estate sale. But didn't matter who it was. So I used to joke to my wife, I'm like, prominent janitor.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just like overused. So yeah, I think that icon would be in the similar vein.
Well, and it's also hard in a way because I like I said, I get that these people are beloved in a community and in their field. They might have done very well, but I just don't quite understand the icon status being put there, because I thought icon was a word that was for very few. And I just don't understand why that all of a sudden has become. Is it to sell papers? Is it to raise money for things? Is it to try to get things done? Like I said, I know who I think the icons are in this community, and it's a short list.
Yeah, and most of them are long, long gone, I think, as we've had that discussion before. So, yeah, I would probably say, you know, more contemporary one would be like Oliver Hamilton. I think his philanthropic work was commendable, plus his business endeavors. And like you said, Doc Brown, Warren Harding.
Oh, yeah.
Edward Huber. I mean, that was not only in the early agricultural days of the Industrial Revolution, you know, what his inventions and his products that he manufactured out of Marion, you know, and then growing into what it did was huge for Marion.
You know, it's interesting. I'll tell you, I certainly would be with you on Warren Harding. I would be with you on Florence Harding. But it's fascinating to me. When it comes to the businessmen and philanthropists, Huber and Oliver Hamilton, and I liked Oliver Hamilton, liked him a lot, lived to be 104. It's interesting to me. I don't know, and it's no knock on them, if I would call them icons, because I don't know if the majority of people would recognize those names. Now, they might recognize a last name or something like that, but I don't know if they would really be able to equate what they did. They were very good in their field. I would say well-known resident. I would say that sort of thing. But I don't know. To me, an icon is somebody who, it's not even a rich person. It's somebody who did something that most people don't do in a field that's very hard to do it in. There have been a ton of great, I mean, certainly John Isley. I mean, that's a well-known businessman, I would say. And I think people would probably recognize the Isley name, certainly more than Hamilton, or maybe even Huber at this point. And I don't even think we know who started the shovel, but that was probably the most successful business in Marion, and that person gets no recognition at all. I don't know. It's a funny thing. Most people don't go out of their sphere. Have you ever noticed that?
No, that's true. But I also think just because today, in this dark age that we live in, people don't recognize contributions from the past, that's more reflective of the ignorance that abounds today as opposed to the lack of iconic status and contributions of those individuals. You know, how many people can locate Canada on a map? I mean, if you watch those Man on the Street videos, which, you know, there's many of those that you can find on YouTube, I mean, it's really sad how ignorant people are, and even in their backyards. I mean, how many people in this area know anything of its history? Very, very few. And it's very, very sad, but that is the case.
Well, it is, and a lot of people are being forgotten, and I feel that that's very unfortunate, and I don't, I'm not sure why that is, because I don't know. You know, of course people's families are always partial to certain people, and of course friends are partial to certain people, but I think also going outside of Marion, because now, see, another one, I'll give another one here who I think would probably fall in the icon category, would certainly be Marilyn Meskey. Now, that's a name that people probably wouldn't recognize now, but, I mean, this is a two-time Miss Ohio. That was very rarely done. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if there's ever been another two-time Miss Ohio. And she became Miss America. Now, there are very few Miss Americas, you know, I believe under 100, and we had one in the early days of that. So she became known on a level outside of Marion, much like Harding, much like Florence Harding. Certainly, Mary Ellen Withrow would have to be in there. She would fit that category. I think there's an icon who's still with us, but Marilyn Meskey would be in that group. So there are things like those are the list, and like I say, it's a very small list.
Yeah, I agree, but my only contention would be that we can't discount the contributions of our ancestors and people who, you know, did big things for Marion, who were from Marion. Just because people have forgotten about them, it's,
you know,
not it's reflective of the culture that we have today, where we do not have any reference or reverence or appreciation for our past and our heritage, and it's very sad.
You know what I like people like we talk Oliver Hamilton and Hubert. Now, what I would call them, as I would say, I think legendary is a good term. I think that well known is a good term. I think that innovator, because I think really that's what they did, philanthropist, I think those are good terms for them. This is just coming back to that four-letter term of icon, and I think there should only, in the 200-year history of Marion, I think we should probably, you know, have under 20 at this point. And I think if we're starting to put more people in there than 20, then I think that term gets watered down quite a bit.
Well, I think if you had, like, I mean, what does icon? Icon is, you know, a symbol or an individual that is representative of something. And if you had a hall of icons, you would fill it with people who were, in their day, representative of the community of Marion. And I think that, you know, those people like Oliver Hamilton and Edward Huber. Huber actually was one of the co-founders. I know you mentioned that, not only of Huber, but of Marion Power Shovel, along with George King and Henry Barnhart. So, you know, those gentlemen, I mean, that was Marion's identity for many, many years, was as an industrial powerhouse. And we've lost that, like many other parts of this country, over the last, you know, five decades. But yeah, I think you would have people like that. Eber Baker, I mean, without him, you wouldn't have Marion. And just for clarification, so in those days, they would plat villages. And so Eber Baker was, he and Holmes were the ones that laid out or platted the village of Marion. And then once a municipality or, you know, a platted area got 500 people, then they could go to the state and the county that they were located in and request incorporation as a village. So Marion was laid out or platted, separated into lots by Baker and Holmes in 1822, and then it reached a population of 500 and incorporated as a village in like 1829. So that's a little bit of a Marion history for
you. So what's our bicentennial?
Well, I would say it would be, to me, it's the 1822, and that's what, when they did the sesquicentennial celebration of 150 years, they went off of the 1822 date. So that's when it was laid out. Now, if you want to be a stickler, you could say, well, Marion was just an unincorporated location until like 1829 when it became a village. So, but historically people went, and then when they did the centennial, it was in 1922. So we have, historically, we have always used that 1822 date. But it's kind of big that they didn't really do much to promote the bicentennial.
Well, it's my understanding, now I could be wrong about this, but it was my understanding that in 2020, they had some plans, and those got put on hold because of the pandemic. But there was also controversy at that time that 2020 was not the bicentennial, because, as you said, 1922 was considered the centennial. And then when 2022 came around, because nothing happened in 2020, I think people were so confused. I don't know why they moved it up. I'm not really sure what was going on with that.
Well, I mean, if people cared, if people had any concept of heritage or history, you know, something would have happened. And the fact that it didn't, again, is reflective of our current state of affairs and our culture.
So. Well, people get very particular about stuff like that, though. It's funny, you know, we talk about politics here. When it comes to history, people get very sharp-edged about that. Like, and it's no joke. I mean, the oldest restaurant in Marion is having their grand opening tomorrow. 99 years Stewart's Root Beer has been open continuously in Marion tomorrow. And I don't know how many people, though. It's just the root beer stand, that orange building out there. Now, a lot of people go there, and I think business is good, and that's very good because I know Michelle very well. But I think that that's interesting that people just kind of, I doubt most people know that. I doubt, maybe most people don't care. I have no idea. All I know is it'll be good to get a chicken sandwich and a curly fry and a diet root beer tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's what most people will think. But if you don't have a concept of your past, you cannot have a concept of your present for your future. So I think the disconnect between us today and our past is the fact that we have lost it, or an appreciation for it, is a huge cultural development and societal and civilizational development.
You know,
you have to have that reverence and that appreciation in order to have a future.
You know what, in our final 90 seconds today, and I do want to remind everybody, Voice of the People is coming up with Linda Sims live after this show, 10:15 to 12 noon, and then Adam from 12 to 1. But I did offer a few years ago to run the speaker for Michelle whenever she needed me there, and you know what, she's never taken me up on that offer. So maybe she found out how I handled the pen at the meeting the other day, and she says, this isn't the guy to be pushing buttons and running the speaker.
Well, I guess maybe in the future she'll reconsider.
Wouldn't you like to go over to Stewart's one day and this voice is the one coming at you through the speaker?
I would. Yeah, yeah. And then we could have debates on the speaker at Stewart's.
That'd be the
everybody away.
That'd be the only problem is that, you know, I'd want to know. So, hey, you want curly fries? Now, where were you born? You know, what's your favorite hobby? What? Where do you work at? It'd be one of those things. That's probably why she doesn't want me on the speaker.
Probably. It'd be entertaining though. If she gives you the opportunity, you have to let me know.
I would love to. I think we'd pack the house that night. Hey, thanks for calling. All right. Well, we're down to our final 20 seconds. Hope everybody enjoyed the program today. Don't forget Linda Sims, our dear Linda Sims, coming up next from 10:15 a.m. to 12 noon. One of the icons here at the station. And then Adam the Computer Guy, there's another one, 12:15 to 1 p.m., who gets all our computer needs done. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you.
I know.
Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.